I just should we do the 2 second podcast? So this was Angel One. Was it good?
No.
The end.
were you going to start with?
Riker One snooze snooze.
as the audio tech nerd, could you close the door? I can hear echo.
Oh,
echo.
Okay.
Hello, echo. And being professionals, I'm not going to edit this out. I just wanted Brandon to get up off his fat ass for once.
Fuck off.
Hello.
Hi.
Yep, we are absolutely keeping this in.
Anyway.
So, this is... What episode are we watching today, young Brandonicus?
Hi, guys!
Hi!
Today on... Oh, God. Today on Bald, Spiky and Bearded, we're doing, I don't know, episode 13, I think?
Yes.
Is it 13?
Angel yeah. 1.
I have the trailer.
Oh, as I wrote it down, Angle 1.
I thought it was Angle 1 to begin with.
I have to say, I always get Angle and Angel wrong.
What's it called? Is Angel 1 the name of the planet?
I want to say yes.
Because otherwise I don't know why the hell it's called.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
There are survivors from the Odin on this planet.
A rescue team struggles to find a shipwrecked crew.
These people are facing their death.
Because they're fugitives on Angel 1.
We were no harm to anyone.
And a disease-infested Enterprise can't save them.
No one can beam up. This virus is totally out of control here.
Now the crew is supposed to stop an execution on Star Trek The Next Generation.
We're out of trolls?
Trials and tribulations.
Let's watch that episode.
I love that episode.
Let's watch the episode instead of this one.
I have watched the triple episodes.
Have you?
Both
what, the DS9?
So there's Trials and Tribulations and...
Trouble Tribbles, and then there's the Trouble animated, Tribble. The animated series did one.
I haven't seen the animated series. Trouble Tribbles and Trials and Tribulations.
Doesn't he make an appearance in Discovery as well?
There's a dead one that they bring back to life.
Who does?
Oh, no, that's in the movie.
The guy that...
Cyrano Jones?
Yeah.
The guy who sells the Tribbles?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, in Discovery, first season.
It is?
Early episode. Played by, what's his name?
The guy who played from The Office.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's Harry Mudd. He's Harry Mudd.
No.
Well, the guy from The Office is Harry Mudd.
Yeah, but it's...
I didn't realise it was going to be him.
Carry on.
So this is Angel 1.
Angel
you can tell
one.
How much we want to talk about this episode.
Oh my God, yeah.
Move along now. Nothing to see.
So this is the planet of the feminists.
The planet. Oh God. The planet of the Amazons. The... Yes.
So it opens. It opens.
I want to find out who wrote this because, in my mind,
it's got to be.
I think
it's got to be a man.
No, I think it's
what's his. Hello?
Nothing?
I think it's repurposed.
Oh, is it? Because it
vaguely, I remember something about it being repurposed from another script.
If anything, it sounded like a Phase 2 script or something that wasn't used.
What's his name? Not Rube Goldberg.
It's not Gene Roddenberry.
It is Gene Roddenberry.
It's not written by him. He's probably had his hand in it at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is written by a guy because it has this just ultimate thing of, I'm a man. You know what will make women happy? If I make an episode about where they are the dominant race because, that's so progressive.
It's a feminist episode written by a man.
Yes.
And it's just... It's
patronizing.
Not even, it's patronizing. Yeah. It's not even pandering. It's patronizing. Mm-hmm. The whole episode is like, okay, sweetie. That's what this episode should be titled.
Well, absolutely fabulous.
Right. Oh, dear.
Come on. Let's get through it.
Start eight. Some bullshit. No.
Point two.
They're on their way to... So basically, there was a ship called the Orion. that crashed and blew up many years ago, and it's suspected that there were some survivors from this ship, even though they thought they'd all died.
Have you noticed they haven't explored that much?
Yeah.
They're basically a taxi service.
That's what I'm getting from this, you know? Like the last episode, they were just like, do you want to swing by Data's homeworld? Yeah, right. You know? What the fuck are you doing?
I'm just reminded of the very first episode where at the end where he goes, I'm sure all our missions will be much more interesting than this. We're seeing the episodes where they're taxiing people around. The actual exploring happens outside of the episodes. The interesting stuff.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, well, from our trajectory, it would have taken them 7 years at sublight. Yeah, sublight.
Yeah, sublight impulse, same thing.
to get to this planet. 7 years in space, that's mad. You know? Turns out that they've been there for like 7 years or something. Like there was a reason why they got there sooner. But anyway. So they go to this planet called Angel One.
That's because it's the title of the episode. It's called Angel One. Angle One.
Angle One, because everyone on this planet has a fucking angle. And so anyway, they get to the planet and they're like, what can you tell us about this planet, Data? We've jumped into this really quickly. Normally we faff about for like half an hour. Hi, Ben, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. We haven't spoken to each other in 5 minutes.
Yeah, you just had COVID.
yes, I did.
Hi, Demos, how are you today?
Yes.
You've also just had COVID.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. You know, thanks for reminding me.
You know what I haven't had, guys?
Should we cough on him?
Yeah. As I said in the last episode, COVID for everyone. Except me. Yes.
But so back to the
episode. The snooze-do episode.
Yeah, back to the snooze-do episode.
You need to watch that episode of Futurama. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's an episode of Futurama where they land on the planet of the Amazonians.
Right.
Okay. And I swear one of them actually looks like the high priestess in this.
It's definitely the woman, the femputa is definitely a reference to her. Femputa agrees!
So I read a story about this. Worth watching. That they had to get, you know, just to make them look Amazonian women.
Amazonians.
You'd think the sensible thing to do would be, okay, let's find some little people, some little men, you know, dwarf, whatever the politically correct term is. And so, you know, women would look big by comparison.
Yeah.
But instead they went, we need to find some women that are over 6 foot. And of course, there's like two of them in America because... So they—that's why I think the acting in it is so bad because they couldn't get good actors.
I have so many thoughts in this episode. I have a bad feeling about this episode.
Thanks, Obi-Wan.
Thank you. You're welcome. they get to the planet and they ask Data, what can you tell us about this planet? And Data's like, well, Angel One is a planet on which, rather than the men being the hunters, hunter-gatherers and all that jazz, it was the women who are hunter-gatherer and all the rest. Basically, the men on this are pets, essentially.
Because
later on, when you actually speak to one of the women on the planet, they like the men on this planet live the life of leisure. You know, we go out and do all the hard work and dedicate our lives to jobs and evolution and science and you know, forwarding our people. Whereas the men get to sit back and enjoy all of this. And in my head, I'm like, wasn't this meant to be like pro women? Yeah. You know,
when that's what I mean. This is. A man writing a pro-woman episode. It's clearly trying to make a point, but not very well.
And then there's bits... like we'll get to it when I get to it.
Well, do you notice that like, the men are wearing kind of low-cut tops? Like their shirts are all open. I know Riker eventually gets into this get-up, but all the men are like clearly meant to be the quote-unquote women, you know, wearing the low-cut tops.
They make a lot of comparisons. Don't get me wrong. In this episode, they do make some very good comparisons and very good points and stuff.
But it's beaten over the head.
Yeah, it's beaten on the head, over the head by all the crap.
Hey, he's awake!
And some of it isn't... I think they fell into some of it. You know, like they made the point by accident, you know? Anyway, so today's like, yeah, you know, it's a matriarchal society. You know, the leaders are called mistresses, and I'm like, excuse me. And he's like, they're like, yeah, there's a group of mistresses that reign over this. I'm like, do they wear leather boots?
Probably.
Probably.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Right, so I'm like, oh,
he hath awoken again.
There you go. I just had to make him laugh. Yeah. There's a lot going on in this episode. Like, there's four different storylines.
What?
Is there a Wesley storyline in this?
Yes.
There
are four storylines in this episode, right?
Oh no, I've just remembered them.
We're going to work through them as we go, but I'll tell you them now. We have the women of the feminist planet. We have everybody's sick.
Yes, because of Wesley.
Yeah, because of Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley.
Sorry, this is our sharp Wesley moment of the week.
We have there are Romulans in neutral space. And
they're mentioned but not seen.
Oh, yes. I think they're gearing them up, aren't they? Yeah, to bringing them back.
And we have...
Because the Ferengi was such a great success.
Yes.
As the new evil. As the new bad.
I'll think of it when we get to it, but there's a fourth like storyline to this as well.
They're going
to
execute.
Oh, isn't it like you meet the colonists and all that? You meet the crash survivors, don't you?
Maybe.
And they're going to be executed.
It might be Riker's Rumpy Pumpy session. I don't know.
Oh, that's so bad.
Anyway, so they're like, cool, let's go down. You know, let's go down and do this. And for some reason, they don't let Picard go down. Is it just me, or is he doing less and less?
Well, the whole thing was that like the captain is meant to stay on board.
Yeah, which, it's not the original series anymore. Mm. In the original series, right, the captain was the leader. In this, the chief executive officer is the guy that puts himself in front of the captain so that the captain doesn't get hurt. Because a captain is worth more than a... chief executive officer.
Really soft voice, you know. Like, it's really nice.
You know what I mean?
I reckon I could fall asleep to like, a story time with Demos.
Tell us a story about the prop used in every film.
They used size B bolts. Screwing them in anti-clockwise.
Remember, lefty loosey, righty tighty.
Anyway, what was I saying?
The TASCAM.
Well, so rudely interrupted.
The XLR cable goes into the TASCAM as shown.
don't forget to twist.
What was I saying?
There is a... I think the other bit is Geordi gets a bit of a chance to be captain, which
that
is pretty
was
cool.
There's Geordi's storyline.
That's and frankly, I think that's probably the only decent bit of the whole episode.
It's a bit out of the blue.
Yeah. Mm. It's good.
You were saying?
Okay. I can't remember what I was saying.
He's doing less and less. Picard's doing less and less.
I was justifying why Picard wasn't going down.
Because he's not supposed
to put himself in danger.
Mm. But it's the whole thing about like Riker was meant to be the Kirk, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But and
that's the whole
on.
Point of it.
And I think that carries on all throughout, doesn't it? I don't,
Yeah.
Picard very rarely goes on away missions.
Unless it's ultra safe.
Yeah.
Then he doesn't go.
I like Picard. I want Picard to do more.
Don't worry, he does.
There's some Picard episodes coming up.
Riser.
I also absolutely. Also the episode when they go down to the planet and they show Angel One's kind of main city. Is it just me or is it very very Gerry Anderson looking? The city.
It is. I think it's been used like with that. I remember that gizmo we were talking about the other episode with the red lights and it's been used sort of red look and it's been used in
they did a lovely night scene of
it's,
as well.
Yeah. It's matte painting, isn't it? And it's
and there's a night and a day.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
But I think they've used that before. I've
but
seen
the building
it
shapes and everything is very Gerry Anderson.
It weirdly, I just Googled it and apparently that matte painting gets used a lot in TNG.
Yeah.
This is what I love about, you know, Star Trek fans will do a page about anything. So there's a whole page on the reuse of the Angel One matte painting.
There we go.
Angel One. Oh, it's been a starbase. It's been a planet. It's been... Oh, it's the Klingon homeworld.
Bruh.
They've added a few buildings to it and made it a bit more Klingon-y. Oh, my God. Klingon-y. It's been used. It's been that same matte painting's been used loads. And in Voyager as well.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's where I remember it from.
Yeah.
Having recently rewatched Voyager.
Ex post facto.
Right, yeah. Early episode, I think. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So they land on the planet of the strong, independent white women. And, you know, the slogans on the flag, you know, live, laugh, love. You know, and it's all just absolutely...
Was that snoo snoo for everyone?
Snoo snoo for all into all the snoo snoo. Yeah, and it's just very shit. Like, all the women are in, like, goat wool ponchos.
Like, it's very utilitarian, is that the right word?
I don't know. It's all the women are in, like... They're all wearing carpet.
Yeah, it does look like it, doesn't it?
They're all kind of in this sort of similar
bits
kind of
off cut.
It's very, very like a power suit.
Yes,
you know,
yeah, the shoulder pads. Oh, the 80s yeah. shoulders. Oh,
and it's like,
actually, do they have shoulder pads? They certainly look
some
like
of them.
It's almost like a triangle.
Yeah,
yeah. Very. It's not good. It's not good.
Beautiful.
And then all the men, and by all the men, I mean Trent, is...
Trent!
Fucking, I have serious issues with Trent, by the way. We're going to get into that.
Okay.
But Trent, and then the only man you see is Trent, and he's running around in like a silvery...
No, there's another guy in the background.
The only man worth mentioning is Trent.
And he's barely worth mentioning, to be honest.
But yeah, all the other men you see, including Trent, are in like glittery spandex, like like the deepest V-cut tops you've ever seen in your life.
This is the '80s.
Yeah, and they've all got a nipple out. All of them have one nipple out.
Again, this is the point I'm making about. Clearly, I think it's meant to be because we switched the gender.
Yeah, this
roles.
Is the equivalent of a cleavage.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah,
thing.
Exactly,
you know, you have to show off your abs or something.
Yeah.
But it's not
progressive.
It's not the same.
No, it's not.
You know, and don't get me wrong. We could. I'm not going to get into it because we could sit here for hours talking about how women and men. You know, is it right for a man to walk around with his top off and a woman can't do it, and all this sort of stuff, and why it's sexualized when it shouldn't be? Because that's a big old can of worms I don't want to touch now.
But it's also the fact that they make that point. Fair enough. But in the same scene, you've got bloody Troy with her cleavage out.
Oh, yeah. I made a note as well. I'm pretty sure Troy has more of a cleavage in this episode than normal. Anyway, so they go down. And then they're like, hey, you know, we've come to try and strengthen our alliance. And, you know, try and...
Oh, yeah, they
know,
make a very big point about it. It's very important that we make this alliance. Why?
No, because they're like, oh, you know, we've been ignoring you, and that's not right, and we'd like to make that right and give you a gift of our, you know, as of good faith and to be your friend and to try and, also, while on the subject, you don't happen to have some survivors from a crashed ship.
They've had this alliance, but they haven't seen them in about 60 years,
They've just ignored them.
Is it that long?
I think it was some long period, because I remember saying, "Oh, we've ignored them." That's a bit more than ignore.
Are they pre-warp?
Because
doesn't that go against the Prime Directive?
I don't know if they're pre-warp.
Can't be, because then they wouldn't be in the Alliance.
No, they're not. They're not in the Federation.
I can't remember.
I think they would like them to be one day.
No, I'm sure they're in the Federation and they're apologising
checking in on them.
Yeah,
I thought they were. Obviously, it's clearly so important that.
Yeah.
Either way, it never gets mentioned again, so don't really fucking.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they go in and they're like, just checking in, bring a new present, gonna let you bang Riker. It's fine. Also, off topic, little side note. P.S. Do you have a bunch of people you're hiding from us from a crash ship? And they're like, and they look at them and they just go, I am not ready to answer that question. I do not want to,
I plead the fifth.
You know, and I just think to myself, whenever people do this, I always think the same thing. I'm like, if it's not a no, then it's a yes. You know, like, if they're like, oh, I'm not going to answer that, you have no reason to say no to me. So by not telling me, you're fucking agreed.
You told me.
So they walk off, even though it's like, here's your bedroom keys. Go and freshen up, go scrub yourself or something.
Yeah.
And they wander out the door, the three of them, because it's the away team is Deanna, Tasha, Riker, and
Data as well.
Data, yes.
No, Wesley.
And part of me is like,
no, where's Wesley?
Where's Wesley?
He turns up in a minute. Yeah.
Oh no! Actually, I've just been reminded when you mentioned Troy. and this was part, this, when I saw this, this was the first line where I thought a man has written this, where Picard goes, oh, Troy, maybe as the woman, you should make contact with them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, God.
It's really uncomfortable as well, yeah, because before they beam down, she does. She radios in, is like, hi.
I've got the cleavage. You can talk to me.
Would you like, can we be friends? And it's really uncomfortable. And I vaguely remember her saying something and me thinking to myself, you're not the captain. You know? Anyway, that happens. And I don't know why they didn't make it an entire female away team. It would have made more sense for a planet that doesn't like men. But okay. So they go. They get put in like a room to chill out and freshen up. And then we cut back to the ship where Wesley and his friend Ben, because I'm looking at you, are going skiing in the holodeck. Because, you know, that's super safe, that holodeck that just, you know, almost killed a bunch of people.
There's something quite homoerotic about it.
The outfits are odd as well.
The outfits are odd, but it's just like, as soon as these two guys step into the holodeck, they start chucking snow at each other.
Nothing at all.
It's the equivalent.
Nothing at all.
It's just, they might as well be in the sea, you know, splashing each
other.
Right? Like, ha 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 ha. Now stop.
It's weird. And they bump into, I can't remember if they going in. I think going in, they bump into Riker and everyone are leaving. And then at this point, Worf and Picard are walking past and they come out of it.
Yeah.
And they throw a snowball and it hits Picard.
Right. So.
I bet I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
Should that snowball have disappeared?
Exactly.
Well, okay, so.
All right. Because a couple of weeks ago, the gangsters walk out and they disappear.
Well, they do take their time disappearing.
Yeah, but Picard's got is wet throughout the scene.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Is the snow replicated?
This is what I'm thinking. I reckon it's replicated snow. Like, as if rain and water are replicated rain and water. Sorry, mate.
Oh, yeah, because I forget, because Wesley, the first time he sees Wesley,
he falls into a lake or something, doesn't he?
He falls into a lake, but when he steps out of the holodeck, he's dripping wet. And it's sweat. Picard again. And it's Picard, and he goes, maybe I should get changed. Yes, maybe you should.
Punk. Either way, he gets hit by a snowball.
So you reckon that it's replicated?
I reckon it's replicated water. Frozen water, yeah. Mm. Ice, okay. In other words. Giant ice machine. You push the thing on the wall and it goes...
From ASMR, I guess.
Then Worf is like,
do you smell something? It's quite
stimulating. The whole homoerotic thing again.
I don't know why my version of Worf is the cookie monster.
Cookie! Blood wine! Prune juice!
Much later.
I really hope everyone at home just got an earful of me going.
No. I was trying to find the Worf sneeze on YouTube. I can't find it.
Even Picard's like, something smells a bit funky. It's a horrible smell. And Worf's like, I find it quite stimulating. And he's like, let's go.
I'm with Picard on this one, sorry.
Yeah, he gives Picard gives Wesley a verbal beatdown as is tradition at this point.
He says,
shut up, Wesley.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
That's going to get old quickly. I know it is, but I'm going with it.
And then and that's it. That's the end of it. It seems like a really random encounter. In my head I'm like, what the fuck? What was that about? Also worth mentioning, didn't realize this to the end. I was watching it with my friend last night, and he explained to me, because I didn't catch this. They mentioned that they had just been on a field trip to a Klingon planet.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, literally before they go
a Klingon planet?
Or some sort of.
I heard that they were going on a field trip, but I thought they were going to the snow planet, or whatever it was they were.
But that's in the holodeck.
Yeah.
But it was the field trip in the holodeck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. They went on a field trip prior to going to the holodeck.
You can tell how much I'm interested in the subplot.
But this is what I mean. Long story, because the thing is, at the end of this, I'm like, where did it come from? And I was told that it was from the field trip.
It was in the holodeck.
Why? Again, okay, so are you telling me that the fucking holodeck just, like, fabricated a virus?
I genuinely thought it was from the snow.
Yeah.
I thought it was the whole point
too.
Of it.
Yeah.
The snow, they caught the virus from the snow.
Nicely caught, I think.
From the smell. From the smell. It's from the smell. Yeah.
But then where did the smell come from?
Right? This is what I have.
Is this technically a holodeck malfunction episode?
So this is what I'm getting, like...
Were the safeties off?
We'll circle back to this, because this is a big point I want to make.
Right.
So we'll circle back. We pop back down to the planet.
Meanwhile,
on the planet. Not now, sorry. Data is playing with a perfume bottle. And a really nice one of that. One of those old ones with the little...
Oh, yeah,
the little squeezy bit at the end.
Yeah. I like his little reaction when he's like... he recoils in horror
I'm
at it.
I'm sorry, but he doesn't know what perfume is.
He doesn't know... What's he...
After... Yeah, because perfume is... Yeah, because on Earth we no longer use perfume. That's futuristic. we just have implants that make our sweat smell good. You know, and
well, you know that I've got synthahole. Is it like synthume?
Yeah, I've got it here.
Oh no, in fact, no, because he actually says it's an alcohol synthetic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he explains what it is, what's in it.
No, but there's another word. He, because Riker says it's an aphrodisiac. Or Troy says,
and again,
no,
you know,
all of them do at one point. Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, but you don't hang around with humans for that long and not pick up on this stuff.
He's got so much memory. Surely he's got an Oxford English dictionary. Exactly. You can just look it up.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but it's
accessing.
It's just
when he was at Starfleet. Like, when he had to learn about humans to go to a school, you know, surely they sat him down and were like, read through this. This is the entirety of human history.
Even if he didn't, again, it's just like...
Which probably would have taken him a minute.
Yeah. Look in a Webster's dictionary or something. Just...
This is Wikipedia. Oh, no!
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but no, I find
he ate his wife, what?
Very, very far-fetched that he wouldn't have known what perfume is. And what its uses.
You see, you can use that if it's something you need to explain to the audience. But the audience knows what perfume is.
Exactly.
So like, at least it would have been better if they had, like, if there was some alien thing.
Yeah.
Like a weird bottle. And it's like, oh, what's this? And then they're like, oh, on this planet, it's used as a scent.
Yeah, as an aphrodisiac. Yeah.
You know, then that would be like, oh, okay. Instead of, it's perfume. Oh.
Oh. How interesting.
Yeah.
But again, back to this. I'm sorry, that line's got to be Gene Roddenberry. It's just like, oh, yeah, great aphrodisia. Yeah, great. Yeah.
And again,
sex.
Yeah.
It's around this point that I'm like, I'm sure Deanna has her cleavage out.
Deanna.
Diana.
All right, Diana.
I would Google it, but no, I'll get phone calls.
I swear, like, there's more going on there. I don't know about you guys, but like, I swear there's more going on there. Let's just say I found myself glancing down a little more than usual. Oh, that's all right.
Eyes up here.
Let's
get the laser measure out.
Yes, yep. Anyway, so...
But what about the man's boobies in this episode?
Boobies. So, doodaloo, Wesley throws an away tea, Picard smells a fart, Data learns about perfume and how it leads to sex. Roddenberry in action again. So the male, yeah. Then the male walks in and sprays himself.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Fucking yeah. Trent.
Trent.
What a name for a character in this. Well, I'm Trent.
Would you say it's quite a masculine name as well? Like,
no. Like, don't get me wrong.
Like Brett.
To any Trents listening to this, it's a fine name. Don't get me wrong. I'm not having to go at you. What I'm saying is, on an alien planet. Like, it's just, I don't know why, maybe it's just my judgment, I don't know, but of course it's fucking Trent, like, of
all I'm
the
Trent,
names.
This is Jeff, and this is Benny.
Benny, yeah.
Sid.
And this is, you know, this is, I'm trying to think of, like, just really kind of, again, I don't want to insult anyone called Trent, but it on a planet like this, it does sound quite a weak name.
Maybe it's just a translation.
Yeah, maybe his real name is Trenzalore.
I don't know why I was thinking Trenzalore in my head. Trenzalore.
Because we're nerds. So all the male survivors of the crash ship decided they're going to live under a female rule and start mansplaining everything, leaving the toilet seat up and so on and so forth.
Something.
What I miss?
The bit in the where the boy wonder falls ill.
Oh yeah, so I mean, yeah, it's a quick hop back up to this. This is what I mean. It hops back and forth from so many different places and so many different subjects. So at this point, you're back up on the ship, and it's like, oh yeah, Wesley and his friend have gotten ill. They're lying in the medical bay.
Oh,
they've got a cold from playing in the snow.
People don't get cold, man.
But then Picard like scratches his neck and he clears his throat and is like, oh, Picard's also falling a bit ill. And then you're back down on the planet. And it's explained that, you know, we do have them. You know, we do have your survivors, and it was 7 of them, and they were all men. And we've let them live here.
We let them loose.
Yeah, we let them live here, and
they like discard them to some like side thing of the planet so they can't be seen.
Like later
a
settlement. That's later on.
Oh, okay. Mm.
But at this point, they're like, yeah, they come and live with us, and it's all great and dandy, hip and fine, and everything. But they get sick of living under a female rule. And they explain it as if they're like the terrorists or rebels, and they leave the toilet seats up.
They're rebels.
They're rebels.
They're wascally rebels.
There's nuclear vessels. There's a big old kerfuffle, you know. And they're like, if you promise to take them off our planet, we'll let you look for them, kind of thing. So you think to yourself, oh, okay, so they've kicked off, they've landed here, and they don't like how it's run, and they're going to try to run it in their own way, kind of thing. Fair enough, they sound like the bad guys, we'll take them away. And so they're like, cool, well, we'll scan the planet for anything not of this world, you know, if there's any weird materials that aren't, from here, and that'd be the easiest way to find them. At this point, I must admit, I did start to think the Riker looked weird. Like, does he have more makeup on in this episode or something? He just, the whole episode, I don't get me wrong, I get he gets his chest out, but the whole episode, he doesn't look right. Like, yeah, he looks a bit more porgy. Like, does he wear, like, I don't know if the Starfleet outfit is more slimming, but as soon as he puts on his kimono.
Those first season outfits were apparently, they're spandex or something, and played havoc with their backs. That's why they had to change the uniforms.
Yeah, right.
He's probably got a William Shatner style like, corset on.
He's got, but this is it. Like he's got a bit more of a gut, you know. And his
face. He's not a thin man. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Frakes is like, especially not even after series 1, 2, season 2 onwards. He's got a bit of a paunch on.
But his nose looks off, and his face. Yeah. There's something going on with his face. There's something about Riker in this episode, because I watched 2 episodes back to back. And I watching Riker. I love the Tricor. I watched this one, and I was like, something's off about Riker. He doesn't look right in this episode.
Maybe it's just the proportions. Because have you ever like seen someone you're used to seeing in like a tie and shirt, and occasion, and then one day they'll come in a shirt, just a normal T-shirt or something, and their proportions don't look right anymore. It's weird. Like their head just looks different. So I think maybe that's it. Like. Because seeing Riker without his uniform.
Actually, you know the thing that you said about the tricorder?
Yeah. Right?
Now, the medical one has the little bobbly bit that comes out. Little,
the McCoy
but
thing.
Didn't Tash scan the room with a tricorder that had a little bit that comes out? I wonder if that was a special one or just a
security tricorder.
Indeed.
Once you picked up in those mines, you spent so much time.
In the rape gang. Surprised she hasn't mentioned it.
I love my notes because I don't. I clearly do. My note here is literally, ha 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 ha, the one dude's name is Trent. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm calling you from Trenzalore.
And then he put so they go. It goes to Riker and everyone in the bedroom in the room, and he walks in with an outfit, and it's like this is, you know, this is like a traditional outfit for men here. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna wear it to go and meet the headmistress kind of thing.
The headmistress.
You know, this private girl school planet.
And do you know what, this bit has I have a real problem with Picard and Discovery. I'll get to my point. That they use kind of modern language, and it really like language that you'd speak today.
Mm.
And for some reason, it just doesn't sound right. But in this, when he puts that outfit on, and Tasha goes, "I must say, it's kind of sexy." And I was like, "No, don't say that." No.
Yeah, so like everyone takes massive issue with this. Everyone's really like, "You're not going to wear that, are you?" And I get it. Yeah. It's that kind of, you're not going to go out dressed like that, you know, or you're going to be asking.
Not when
for
you're
it.
Living under my roof.
And it's, I get it. I get the parallel that they're trying to make. And I really want to be here like, I get it, you know, it's a fucking nipple. I get it, right? I get it. But it doesn't feel natural.
No.
You know? Like, there are better
so
ways to make
it. Around the head. It's just,
says the three guys sitting around the table. There are better ways to make this point. We're not going to win this episode.
No, this is going to
be a tough episode for any of our female listeners. I'm sorry.
But at least we know that it's patronising. I mean, a woman should have written this episode.
Exactly. And I agree with a lot of the points they're making, just not how they're making them.
Yeah.
You know?
What's the term? Hammer to crack up a nut or something.
Yeah, sledgehammer's cracking up.
Yeah, it's it.
We're not. I'm not watching it thinking, "Oh, they're making a good point, a good parallel here." I'm watching it laughing, and it's like we don't want to make a joke of this point. You know,
the thing is, you can do an episode which blatantly makes a political point. Like, I always think of that episode with the black and the white guy, the guy with the half white black.
Yeah.
You see, that is so bloody obvious. But
final battlefield or something.
Let's be laughing.
That
was
in Futurama, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah, the church of...
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
yes.
The front of the bench.
But you see, like, you could say that's on the nose, but it's not as shoved down your throat as this is.
Mm. So he puts on this kimono, because it is. It's a kimono, pretty much.
It's a dressing gown.
Yeah, and it's loosely draped over him, and he has, like, a full ear earring.
Oh, yeah.
And a diaper.
Do you have a diaper?
It's like a diaper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got like genie pants on, but then
they're like
a diaper.
Jodhpurs.
And it's thirsty.
Oh, my God.
It's a really thirsty outfit.
You can actually buy it on cosplay website.
If you rocked up to a convention like that. Jeez. I think you'd need to have a hairy chest for that to work.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, thank you. We'll put the link in our
It's actually
Facebook
called
page.
The Riker's Boy Toy Costume.
Boy Toy? Jeez.
How much is it? Oh, no, sorry, hang on. This is the original. It's for sale on Christie's, the auction website.
Incredible.
It sold for $1,800. Someone bought this.
In fucking credible.
Oh, God, it's got... Oh, God, the crotch area is really defined. A loose shirt of aqua blue chiffon woven with metallic threads with a pair of corresponding mauve pants.
Mauve. Tasha and... does Deanna not love Troy? Does Deanna not love Riker anymore? Because
sometimes.
She seems so chill
when
about...
it's convenient.
Yeah.
Is she not jealous at like going to see the annoying one or whatever her name is?
The anointed one.
The oiled one.
The oiled one.
Pre-oiled.
But yeah, like all of them are a bit kind of like, you can't do this. What are you doing? But not in a like a, I'm jealous. Just in a, you're an idiot kind of way, you know?
Well, actually, I'd prefer that because I hate the kind of mock jealousy.
And he comes out in this outfit and they all laugh at him.
Yeah.
And I say, it's kind of sexy. And it's Tasha.
Yeah, yeah.
Tasha walks up and goes, you know, as you say, he's just like, it's kind of sexy. And you're like, nope, shut up.
But again, the sexuality is awkward.
It's not. It's so hammered in.
Yeah.
So the women are so often that it's interesting. I didn't know any better. They were they're trying to make a good point about sexism. Yeah. So I'm just pointing out. Like,
yeah.
It's an episode that
the obvious.
Yeah. It's an episode that just
he opened the gate to walk in to say that.
It's just
bye.
It's just uncomfy. they make a big deal. It's all uncomfortable. Then we're back up to the ship, and everyone is getting ill now at this point. Picard has been taken off the bridge and said, go to your room, you need to rest, you've fallen ill, kind of thing. You know, you are ill.
Doesn't like Beverly say that, I don't think you're fit to command the ship anymore?
Mm. Yeah.
He's got, let's be honest, a cold.
It does get worse.
Yeah, but at the point she says that, he's literally got what probably is like a headache and a cough. Mm. Come on.
More and more of the crew are catching this cold. Mm. And they,
bloody Wesley!
And they've had to... they actually say that they've quarantined Wesley and the other students.
Is it at this point... Oh, no, hang on. Is it this episode? There's an episode where they lock Wesley in this cabin to say he has to face death.
No.
It's not this one, okay.
No.
Which one was that?
I don't know.
I think we've talked about it, probably.
Really?
I vaguely remember something about Wesley having to face death alone.
Yeah,
that was on Justice or whatever it's called, the one where he trips.
Oh no, he's like there's an illness on the ship. I thought it was this one where because Picard's walking around and he goes, "Oh, where's Wesley?" And he goes, "Well, I put him in his quarters. He should."
When the oxygen's running out.
Yeah.
When the oxygen's running out of the ship.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Is that this one?
No. That was we've watched it already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was one where the oxygen was running out on the ship because Q had taken the oxygen away.
I don't remember now.
Someone had taken the oxygen away from the ship, and everyone was suffocating. Yeah. And Bev left Wesley locked him in their room to face death, kind of thing.
Oh, sure. Not just I forgot he was there.
Yeah. So, no,
just
but
like
we have seen.
That she is.
We have seen that one. Okay, we have already reviewed it. I don't know which one that was, though. But all I know is that the oxygen on the ship has been taken away.
That's right, yeah.
Why couldn't he have faced death?
So, with Picard being taken off the bridge, Geordi is the senior officer, because Riker's down on the planet. Yeah. So's Data.
Data.
So it's Geordi, and they make a big thing about it. And part of me is kind of like, nice.
Yeah, nice. I don't know why, but I like Geordi. Is like, I trust Geordi,
but at the same time, did feel a little pandery. Was kind of like, look, the black man's in charge. Haha. It's like, yeah,
really.
I don't know if I got that.
Why did they make it? I don't know. I was trying to think why they made such a big deal of it.
Well, it wouldn't have made any difference if it had been him or Worf.
Even if it was Worf, I'd be like, why are they making such a big deal of this?
Well, it just seems like, oh, this is a big responsibility and I'm going to take it. Because in these early ones, he's effectively an ensign, isn't he? Or a lieutenant junior grade. Like, he's a really low rank.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So I didn't know. I didn't get that context. So
I don't know. I mean, again, there's such sledgehammer cracker nail thing that it's probably very realistic thing to think that.
Well, this is what I mean, because I'm just there like it could very well be, you know, thinking about it. It could very well be just like, it's my moment to shine.
Yeah.
But it's just this. They do so little of that kind of subtleness.
Yes. Yes.
That
exactly.
I'm like, nope, couldn't be that. Why would they do it? It has to be something massive and stupid.
And we don't know a lot about Geordi yet. We find out more about Geordi, you know, in his holodeck activities. But
again, though, I feel like I need to justify this every episode. But I'm taking the episodes apart on purpose.
Yes.
I love these episodes. I'm enjoying the series. I think it's great. Love the characters. Love
including
everything.
Including this one.
Yeah, to an extent. You know, but I the purpose of this podcast is that I kind of riff on them a bit.
Mm.
The thing is, considering everything that's happened in this episode so far, that is such a natural progression. It's just like, look, the black guy is the captain today.
Exactly. It's like, women's rights? How about one up you? No. Anyway, so he sits in the captain seat.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, blimey, hello.
I was trying to play something and then an advert showed up.
The fucking duck noise. Oh God, Riker is far too hairy for that outfit. So he comes out and he is just chest hair. He's got a nipple hanging out and it's just chest hair. And he's kind of leaning back a bit. His guts hanging out. He's chilling. He's vibing. And I know they're trying to make it like, you know, we're objectifying him, but it's just silly.
Yeah.
He looks silly. And then he goes to talk to the headmistress.
The annoying one, I told you.
And
the anointed one.
No, annoying one.
The oiled one.
The oiled one.
And just so quickly, it just collapses to, we're going to have sex, you know? Like, it went from I'm going to go there with this gift and show her my goodwill. And I'm like, is that what you call it now? And it's like, you walk in and within 2 seconds she's like, and to be fair, they do a good job of her objectifying him.
This is the annoying thing. I mean, this episode is so on the nose, but had this been Kirk and someone on a planet and that would have happened. That would have happened, you know, but and it wouldn't have even been discussed. It's just like, yeah, Kirk immediately cops off with this woman. So, yeah, I kind of get it why they've done this.
No, like, it's like, no, so, okay, so they're getting the woman to flirt with him and to kind of almost not give him a choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's very kind of like, we're going to go to the bedroom and really talk about this, whether you like it or not, kind of thing. Here's a cup of tea. Drink the tea. I don't care if you want a cup of tea. Drink the tea. You know? And it's like, oh my God, this is really on the nose. Yeah, and it would work really well to as like a lesson, you know? If Riker wasn't so up for it. If Riker was a bit uncomfortable and like, actually, no, I don't want this. It would be a great learning moment. It would be a brilliant way to flip the tables and to show how shit it would be for how to yes, have
but
the tables
subtlety
turned.
Subtlety has gone somewhere else.
But Riker's just like, oh, you want to go to bed? Let's go to bed. I'm like, so
I just imagined him doing this while they were having sex.
And he would, because Riker wants Snoo Snoo. And this is where the parallel comes in, really, because you've not seen the episode, but you should watch the Women of the Planet of the Amazonians on Free Fire. Because it is literally like, come with me, I'm going to bed you, we're going to have snooze through. What did all your men die of? Crushed pelvises. You know, like, I had snooze through.
And it was good.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Light a cigarette.
Because we watched that episode of Futurama, and I watched this one recently. The annoying one actually looks like one of the Amazonian women from that episode. It's weird.
Do you think it was done by purpose?
It's got to be a subtle. if not a direct parody, a subtle parody at least.
Okay.
So, yeah, they go to bed, and they start rolling around and having a bit of fun. Riker looks odd in this episode. then we go back to the ship, and we have the Worf sneeze, which is this echoey, really badly ADR'd sneeze that goes on for ages. Pretty bang on, yeah. And it's, again, this is just kind of like, you know, the rest of the ship is now ill. It's kind of whittling. In the background, you see some more of the bridge crew being taken away and everything. It's pointing out, basically, that very soon it's only going to be Beverly and Geordi.
Oh, yes, you know, I remember this because at one point Tasha calls up to the ship and Beverly answers and Tasha goes, things must be worse than we thought. Like, wow, okay.
Oh, God, if she's picking up.
That's literally what she says, though. Like, she doesn't even try and hide it. Like, bloody hell.
It must be worse than I thought. At least Will didn't pick up. Well, you show him. What's he showing me?
They go to the...
I'm sure Demos just spends all these episodes on his laptop.
Sorry. It's because he watches the episode, but then what he does is he's like, this bit. I'm like, I have notes. And then when he does the Futurama episode, he's like, blaring through it all. I'm like, slow down, you're missing bits. Oh, man. So Worf gets taken away because he's now ill as well. But I like how Worf is one of the last people to get ill to show that a Klingon immune system is stronger than a human one.
Well, weirdly, in The Naked Now, he's one of the few who actually maintains, I think him and Riker are the only ones that remain sober in the whole thing. So, you know.
But I don't like... But then it doesn't explain why Beverly survives for so long. I guess
because
maybe
she's more
sanitary.
She's a doctor. Because this happens... And even McCoy was the same. Like, whenever there was a disease or something, he just doesn't get it. Because otherwise, screwed.
Yeah, right. And this is where I point out that there's, like, four storylines going on. There's, like, Geordi, the sickness... Romulans, because again, and I left this bit out because it is a footnote, really. Every 10 seconds when they go back to the ship, they're like, we have a distress signal from the neutral zone. There's Romulans coming. We need to go and sit there and show a force and just literally just sit there. And everyone's like, well, we're in no position. We're all sick. You know, we all have a cold. And it's like, it's fine. We can all just sit there. It's a show of force. And it's like, yeah, but if they actually attack, we're bugging because, you know, a chew.
Why didn't they send Data up?
They do eventually.
Oh,
but,
do they? Yeah.
But, you know, they don't. It takes them bloody the whole episode to realize that. So, you know, that's just that thing. Riker and his mistress spend a lovely evening together, and she touches his chest hair in all the wrong places. And it's disgusting and horrible. And yeah, she like gropes it and she like twiddles it, and I don't like it. No, it's not nice. Not nice at all. And then Travis.
Travis?
Whatever his name.
Trent.
Trent, our boy.
Troy McClure.
he just cock blocks him constantly. Like, Troy is. Troy? Fuck.
Travis.
Trent.
Trent. Fucking Trent. Trent just walks in. Like, doesn't knock or anything. He just walks in, and they're like on top of each other, and they're like, dude, socks on the door. What are you doing? And he's holding like a little silver ball that they brought with him. And like, this is what the kind of like peace offering is.
One of those cheap plasma globes. Yeah, right. They were around a lot in the '80s, actually, those things. So, you know,
travel around space, they say, sleep with aliens, they said, it'd be fun, they said. Oh man. So, and so they open it up, and it's a crystal. And in my head, all I thought of was, get her a crystal. Bitches love crystals, you know? I'm like, you really, like, could you have, like, in trying to avoid stuff, you were like, what should we get this planet of women? I don't know, a crystal. They like shiny things. It's like, oh, come on, you know? You're next going to say they're all into astrology.
I'm a Taurus. I don't like this crystal. I'm an amethyst person.
Right. So this is really good. It will heal the room, cleanse the room, my chakras.
Realign your chakras.
Yeah. Anyway. Huh? So apparently it's quite a nice thing. And, you know, it's all kind of cool. And I think there's another bit here where she mentions how she wants to have sex with him, but it to be meaningless kind of thing. And there's like another point made about how, like, a comparison to men and women in current world, but it just falls flat again because Riker's like, I'm up for it.
Riker's a whore.
He really is. So while all this
to be honest, that never really changes. I think he's forever a whore in this series. He is the ship's whore. It was Tasha, and now it's him.
So while all this is going on, Data has found the survivors of the Odin ship because one of them has a platinum necklace on, like a dog tag or something that's made of platinum. And they're like, okay, cool, that's them. And so they beam up, thank you. They beam to their location, and it's in some crater somewhere, and it's like Buck Rogers kind of looking character, like, yeah. You know, like Crocodile Dundee.
He looks very much
kinda,
like Buck Rogers.
You know, he's sort of like kneeling over, like, I've been expecting you.
Oh, God. The guy who's in the A-Team who's also in... I've forgotten his name. That's
really
bad.
I think in the A-Team he's called...
Yeah.
Hannibal. Oh, I was going to say Hannibal.
His face, yeah. Dirk Benedict, yeah.
The guy who loves a plan when it comes together.
Yeah.
No, that was the leader.
Yeah.
Well, Hannibal's
the leader.
Hannibal Lecter.
What's his name again?
Starbuck!
That's it! Yes, he looks like Starbuck.
From the original.
Yes, the original, yes.
Yeah, Dirk Benedict.
Yeah. He looks like Benedict. Starbuck. That was a long time to get there.
They're in there. And when he's like, oh, we've been expecting you.
Mr. Bond.
It's like, okay, so clearly they've got a man on the inside. And I'm like, Trent. It's got to be Trent, right? Nah, it wasn't Trent. Why would it be someone useful? Why would he be useful?
It's Wesley.
He
had one job to do, right. And he didn't even do that.
Turns out one of the mistresses is like,
oh, yes.
Gone and married him, and it's his like second wife.
The girl from Knight Rider.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got a little confused, though, because the whole way through this, they mention how we need to get them back and take them to their families, you know? And then they're like, no, we live here now. This is my new wife. And it's like, wait, what? I know it's been like 7 years.
Not long enough.
You know, they've been lost for a while. But I'm sure if any of them had families and wives and stuff, they'd still have them, you know? And like, I'm pretty sure they mentioned that they have families and wives and kids and things. And all of them are just like, no, we live here now. We don't want to go anywhere. It's like,
well, that's the whole castaway thing. Like, it's such a long time that you kind of think, oh, crap.
Never get off here.
Yeah.
But like, they say, we'll give you a free ride back. And all of them are like, nah, we're good. We're just going to live here, you know, as rebels. You know, gangster.
I had sex with the annoying one for you.
So, no, Riker's not there. This is while Riker's getting snoo-snoo.
Yeah. Having snoo-snoo.
Getting it on, yeah. It's the other three that go.
But no, I remember that bit so well.
But it turns out, they were warned by one of the mistresses. And so once they all say no, you know, we appreciate what you're trying to do, but we live here now. This is now also our home. We're not going anywhere. And they're like, well, we'll just...
MacGyver. That's what he looks like.
He does look MacGyver. Like MacGyver. He looks so much like MacGyver. Holy heck.
Yeah.
He is MacGyver.
He's McGonagall.
McGonagall.
Hey, I'm trying to eat lunch here.
McGonagall. Wasn't MacGyver the guy from Stargate?
Yeah.
I love Stargate.
Yeah.
I love Stargate.
Yeah. Might be coming back.
Did you ever watch Stargate?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, that could have been the one.
I didn't watch Atlantis.
I've watched
Atlantis is really good, actually.
You not watched Atlantis?
I watched SG-1. I watched the movie. I haven't watched Atlantis.
Did you watch Universe?
No,
it was. I liked it. Really, I liked it. But
which is the one with Kaylee in from Firefly?
That was Atlantis.
Oh, maybe I have watched a bit of that then.
Yeah.
Who was she in Atlantis?
Yeah.
Who was she in Atlantis?
Doctor.
No.
Yes.
Yes. No, I'm sure
she's on TikTok and she's so self-referential.
She's so lovely.
Yeah. What's her name again?
Bless her.
Jewel State. Yeah.
Jewel State. Yeah, and like every time anyone references her, she just does like a reaction video.
Yeah,
thanks. She seems nice. Like, you know, she's like mum.
Yeah,
so she's a proper mum vibes. Riker must hate his job. You know, kissing women, sleeping around, rolling around in beds. Sucks, man. It's hard work. Being in Starfleet.
The only thing wrong with this episode was that the women weren't green.
Yeah. Or had a third boob. like a single
Total
tit.
Recall.
She's in it. The Total Recall. Not this episode.
Oh, yeah.
The Total Recall.
The actress or the three boob chick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the actress who plays the three
boob
chick.
Oh, the actress,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got like a recurring role later on, isn't she?
Only for a couple of episodes. But yeah, that was a shame. They didn't expand that role.
Yeah, no, she was good, actually. Yeah.
So as Riker's about to get, you know, round two in... Fucking Trent!
Missed my joke.
Yeah.
I did. Expand. Right over my head. Expand. Tumbleweed.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Trent.
Where's the tumbleweed?
As if he didn't learn the first time, just walks on in again. He's like, hey, Riker, how's it going? Brought your friends with me. And it's like, thanks, mate. Clearly on a bed with, like, the queen, but whatever. You know, and like they all walk in, and then everyone else walks in, and he's like, "Guys, trying to
get my snoo snoo on."
Yeah, can you not see I am on a diplomatic mission from Alderaan? Oh man,
wrong franchise.
Yeah, I know.
You're mixing your franchises.
I did.
It's really bad for your digestion.
I know. So that's what she's mate. So after all the fuss between Deanna and Riker, there's just she's just staring at him in bed with this woman, just like, doop, boop, boop. And I'm like, really? Like you were so upset that like you were gonna get married or something and all this, and she's literally banging a woman in front of you, and you're like, I like those plants. Nice decor. Who does your decoration? Trent.
Oh. I should show more of my cleavage.
Yeah, maybe if I use more cleavage. Should I have more or less? Anyway. So they they say that, you know, they don't want to leave. They want to live here. And she's like mildly put out by this. She's like, well, that is a shame. I sentenced them to death. It's like, what? She's like, yeah, we'll hunt them down and we'll fucking kill them. And it's like, okay. And so, yeah, fucking hell. I'm just so broken with this episode. Riker,
can we get to the end, please?
Yes,
we're near the end. And so Riker like gets up and he's pissed off with his sugar mama, and he's like, you know, you go and do your business, and I'm gonna go do mine. And she brings him like we then go back to the ship, I think, for the penultimate time, maybe. I don't know. We're back in the ship, and everyone's getting down with the sickness. And it's like, it's not even Geordi's there anymore. Like, Geordi's fallen ill. So it's literally Beverly and...
I think it's just Beverly.
Is it just Beverly?
I think it is just Beverly.
Yeah. I think it's just Beverly. And that's when they're like, you can't beam up. You can't do this.
Why is she immune?
She's not immune. She's the just the doctor.
It's the whole doctor thing, yeah. It's just like, she's got the blue coat on, therefore she's immune.
And she's like, you know, like, because Riker's got his top off, Picard gets his off, he's in bed, he's not as hairy, but, you know, he's pretty hairy. And he's like,
got his dressing gown, his famous dressing
no,
gown.
No, just flat out topless.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And Beverly is just like there with a soup firm as of like what only can be described as like piss. Because as she pours it into his mouth, he's like, and she's like, it looks bad, it tastes bad, but it'll make you feel better. And it's like, is it the cure? Nope.
Is it? Oh, it's grandmother crusher's recipe.
It's cyanide.
It's cyanide.
Kill you off quickly. But no.
Forget hyper sprays and stuff. Just like, have some soup.
Right? Oh, man. So, you know, they're like, you can't come up here. Everyone's sick. And then Riker turns around and is like, will Data be affected? And they're like, yeah, no, probably not. I don't know. It's Data, go up.
He's so affected or not, depending on what the story requires.
Right, and I'm like, Data, I don't know what you said in the past episode that Data later on is like told that he breathes, kind of
yeah.
Like, you know.
And he's got like an internal system of fluid. So, but like, and you know, he swallows the pill in the like in Data Lure,
and yeah, he gets roofied. Yeah,
roofied. Yeah. So,
so I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's a disease as opposed to a chemical.
No, maybe.
Either way, Data isn't affected, so he gets sent up.
I mean, to be fair, don't know what it is.
And the point is that Data is going to pilot the ship to the neutral zone to save
have a tete-a-tete with the Romulans.
Yeah, to just show a force to the Romulans.
Ugh.
while Beverly tries to figure out a cure, an inoculation. Knowing that they've been sentenced to death, they suddenly all get like captured because they followed the woman to her husband.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Ha, we can follow her. We don't need your fancy technology to scan for where they are. And I was just there, like, so you just followed some
follow
chick,
the 80s hairdo,
and you found them. Okay,
and the 80s shoulder and, pads.
Yes, follow the yes the shoulder pads you can see from space. Yeah. So like.
And, like, the first thing they say with these, the first thing the survivors say when they come in is, I can't believe you sold us out. And I'm like, they did it. It was literally, and then I think that's when they yeah. say, like, oh, we followed them. And I'm like, this is mean. This whole scene is just mean. You know, and the mistress that was married to one yeah. of the survivors is also there, and she's like, you'll be killed as well for this kind of thing. And. I like the weapons though. They have the kind of they have female like, guards have pointed sticks. You know,
it looks like a fondue stick.
It does.
It reminds like, me of you know, the Planet of the Black People episode where instead of clapping they get sticks and go.
I forgot about that. Set design's really nice in this, actually. Weirdly enough, so I just suddenly noticed the set design's lovely. So they're sentenced to death. And they're shown how they're going to die. And it's a chair with a vase on. And she flicks a switch and the vase...
The vase.
Gets incinerated. Like, it's, like, instantly, like, incinerated. And everyone's just standing there like, well, shit. And she's like, we're not monsters. We'll make it quick and painless. I'm like, yeah. You're killing like 70 people. You're a monster. Yeah, whatever. And so they get taken all off. Because even though they, for some reason, rather than doing it then and there, they put them in jail for the night.
What's the James Bond thing of like, yeah. I could just shoot you in the head right now, but first I'm going to get these laser beams. No, the sharks with freaking laser beams on.
Yeah. So at this point, they go back for one last kind of Hail Mary pass. And Riker and everyone walks into the jail cell and is like, listen, last fucking chance. You come with us or you die, you know? And they all turn around and go, death. Death sounds pretty good.
Cake or death.
Cake or death. I'll take death. And I'm like, really? Like, I get it. You want to stay true to your home, your new home, and all that jazz.
Yeah, but that's going to work for one day, and you won't have a home anymore because you'll be dead.
Right? And it's like his wife has been captured as well. Mm. His new wife.
And she'll be put to death as well.
Yeah, she is. She's been put to death as well. Yeah. So it's like, just all go. Because they even say, will you take the traitors that sided with them? And he's like, yeah, sure. Mm. So just go. Just fucking go. Oh, bloody pride, man. It like,
well, very worst, they could go to another part of the planet and hide there,
which ends up happening. Yeah. But
no one saw that one coming, did they? Mm,
And so at this point, they're like, planet. You know, that's when Data kind of disappears. And the next morning, they're all getting ready to be, you know, killed. And Data suddenly calls them up and is like, "Hey guys, how's it going?" And they're like, you're still here? Why are you still here? We gave you an order. He's like, well, I calculated some shit, and basically they can hold out for a little bit. You got 48 minutes. And I'm like, 48 minutes to save the world? Flash! You know? Oh, dear. And so...
That's about the length of the average TNG episode.
Right.
It's a two-parter! Angel 2.
But it added some tension, I'll admit. I'll be there, like, I kind of did go on the edge of my seat a little bit more, because I was like, oh, no. You only have 48 minutes to cure the disease or...
Flash! Doom.
Yeah, or, like, rescue these people. What's going to happen? I'll be honest, as shit as this episode is, I was there like, what's going to happen?
Wasn't.
I'll tell you what happens. The white man gives a talk on sex equality.
Yay.
Because the white man... decides the best thing to kill time is to talk to the mistress about how they're being sexist towards men.
And I had switched off at this point.
Yeah, and that's literally what happens. Riker has a conversation with the mistress about evolution and how it's not revolution, it's evolution. And you know, men shouldn't be treated as objects and... Everything that we know is should be the truth about women, and it's really on the nose. But it's from a man about men.
Twist.
And it's just not good. And she turns around and she's like, kill him! And the guy gets put on the chair, and seconds before the laser thing goes off. The woman, traitor, mistress, that's his wife, his second wife, turns around and goes, bah! She literally screams like, bah, blah, blah, blah. She says something. I'm guessing she says something in their native language. It's like, bah, bah, or something. I don't know. And she goes, stop! You're giving me a lot to think about. We will adjourn. And they get put back in the cell. And they go off and have a bit of a think and some Mai Tais.
Mojitos.
And Trent just, you know, sits in the corner and fondles the crystal ball. Because that's how you activate the laser.
Yeah.
And it's just...
The plasma ball.
Oh, my God. It's just... The only note I have for that bit is I kind of wish they killed just one, you know, just to show they were serious, you know?
Trent.
Fucking Trent. So they all get spared. The long and the short of it is she comes back in and she's like, I have decided to let them all live. They can go to a currently unpopulated part of the planet that has... You know, life will be tough there, and you'll have to work hard, But maybe...
SETI Alpha 5.
But maybe evolution is better than revolution and or something. And she's like, I know I can't stop evolution, but maybe we can slow it. And I'm like, so you're openly admitting that you're like, hey, I know we should probably be progressive, but that sounds pretty shit and scary, so we're going to try and delay it as best we can.
The message of this episode.
Yeah, let's not be progressive. Let's hide away from it. Yeah. Fucking, oh my God. So they cure the virus.
Yes, of course they do.
You know, they like at that point they get an intercom from Data saying, "Yep, we did it. I found the inoculation. Bingo. What's bingo? It means don't worry, Data. We got the inoculation." Literally,
isn't
the conversation.
That some sort of ancient Earth game?
Literally, the conversation is, "Hey, Data. Yes, Beverly. Bingo. What does that have to do with what we're doing? Doesn't matter, you dumb robot. We got the inoculation." And that's it. Then everyone comes on the ship. They get stabbed in the neck. On to the next adventure. And it's like...
You can't remember the NAF joke at the end where Picard's like...
So the cards for the new design! Yeah, so Picard has a groggy throat still and he's like... And then he's like, oh, do you want to... And it's like,
he just kind of looks at Riker in a kind of smug-ass way like... Ha ha ha!
Make it... He's like... What was that? Sorry, what was that? One more time for me.
Fuck yourself. I hope you have space AIDS. Kill Wesley. Shut up, Wesley.
And it's like, he looks at Riker, and Riker's like, ha, you bitch. You old bitch. And turns to Data and goes, take us out or something. Take us to the neutral zone. So, yeah, you don't get an explanation to where the fucking virus comes from. It's all tied in a nice bow. There's no other threat to the virus. Suddenly they're on the way to the neutral zone, so all of these problems, all of these storylines are just done in a nice bow without having any fucking
sounded like a wolf sneeze there.
And like, so apparently the disease comes from their field trip. So that's either they've been down to a planet, which in which case they brushed over very quickly. And
I genuinely thought it was just the snow planet on the holodeck.
Or it came from the snow planet on the holodeck, in which case the holodeck has struck again. Like, stop using the holodeck. Clearly there is something wrong with
it. The second holodeck malfunction episode. There are hundreds of them.
But this is what I mean. It's like, don't let kids in there. Let's take a field trip to the fucking human blender. Why not, you know?
But the crushers from Galaxy Quest are in there.
Yeah. Let's take this baby on a field trip to the baby eating planet of fucking Z9.
You can't complain about a fistful of Datas, though.
Is that a malfunction? I'm trying to. I haven't seen that episode in a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, this is a different one.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But I remember now. Yeah. But I'm trying to think of. Right, let's just let him get his anger out. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm done. No. But it's just... I don't know. I don't think they were clear enough about where it came from.
Coppola's on board it from the field trip.
Yeah. Manufactured it and started dealing it out as cocaine. Oh, yeah, sorry. My mistake. I didn't mention it. They were talking... They did talk about a weird smell.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, my God... That's how the disease becomes a thing. It smells stimulating and prompts you to take a deep breath. And then once in your system, it turns into a virus. And I was just there like... And somehow, that is all she needed to know to make the inoculation. Da, 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 da. Oh,
man, I was going to play... The more you know.
I know. I don't know if it's because we've done a few today or because of this episode, but I'm just done.
Thinking about it, this was the worst episode to do as the last one of the day.
So.
How many Groplazorns?
Three.
Or how many Scruffies?
Three Groplazorns for this episode.
What's our ad today? Who's our sponsor today?
Oh, our sponsor. our sponsor is, hey, do you have lots of chest hair? Do you find life in a Starfleet outfit a little tight and uncomfortable? Does your back hurt? Do you like crystals? Well,
Groppler Zorn's wax.
Groppler Zorn's kimono playboy is here for you.
Only $1,800, apparently.
And it comes in 50 shades of grey. Are you okay?
Oh. Damn it. Why I think the COVID's come back. Can
Why
you say that?
You, that?
You should do that advert in Gilbert Godfrey's voice.
No. 50 Shades of Grey. Grappler Zorn. For when you need it.
Bless. Right. I can't believe he died.
It makes me sad. It does.
Don't end on a downer. Okay, right. The next episode, right. Oh, yeah. I will give you a tenner if you can tell me what the name of the episode is.
Before you play it.
Yeah.
I love how I said I give it like 3 Groppler Zorns, and no one argued with me.
No, I think we just don't care. 3's actually, because... yeah?
Do you want me to be a nerd?
Go on.
11001001.
Oh my God, I actually got that right.
Incidentally,
my computer switched off. Yeah.
Incidentally, again, in Futurama, that is the code Bender repeats to try time travel.
Oh, yes.
Is it?
Yeah. In Bender's
11001.
Yeah. But it's that code repeated.
All right.
Damn it. Anyway, so the next episode is called 11001100 whatever.
11001001.
Jesus Christ. I shall play the train.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation, the crew docks at a star base for repairs.
I'm getting an indication of possible trouble in main engineering.
But kidnappers trick the crew into an emergency evacuation.
Abandon ship.
Stealing the Enterprise and its captain.
This vessel must not fall into hostile hands.
Set auto-destruct sequence. Now.
It's a deadly countdown on Star Trek The Next Generation.
That sounds good.
I remember that one being a pretty good one.
I'm glad one of us does.
The binars, right? This is the binars. Oh, I quite like this one.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not, you know, it's not Oscar winning, but
we'll get to
what's
it.
What's the
we'll
reference of the binary code though?
You'll see. Watch the episode.
There's a whole. In fact, thinking about it, it's quite a weird concept now. Mm. But like, there's a planet of digital people. Effectively, they speak in binary.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a really cool one.
But like, if I remember, some of the computer language used in it is a bit outdated.
Mm-hmm. This 10-inch floppy is my entire family. Yeah. Oh well.
Oh dear. Right. So
I don't even know how to end it today. Cool. We're done. I love you. Call your mum. She worries.
Should we just end it on?
Shut up, Wesley.
That's a pretty good ending. Yeah.
Actually, I was going to say Wesley wasn't that annoying in this episode, but he caused a disease.
Disease.
Again!
Yet again.
Plague boy.
Yet again.
I think we can end on a solid fuck you to Trent.
I don't know what you've got against Trent.
I don't know why.
They've switched the genders perfectly in this episode because you would usually be angry at the woman for being so good-looking and charming and everything, but now you are angry at the good-looking man because he's so good-looking.
You're right. I love Trent. Trent, if you want me, my number is 1A2B. Okay, bye.
The end. Fuck you. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Thank you.